Mini episode 213 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by LaughAtSports.com, your new internet home for the convergence of athletics and comedy. Follow them on the web at LaughAtSports.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, folks, welcome. It's FDH Lounge mini episode 213. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross from the FDH Lounge breaking down your NFL Week 11 slate of games, and we're coming off of a lot of success thus far this season for moi. Another 9-5 week, my second in a row last week. 3-0 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock pick. My picks for the season, 72-71-3 overall. So if you're playing all of those, you're still getting your legs broken by Stosh. My apologies. but if you're playing my big three, 16-13-1, 7-3 on my lock plays for the season.
Very nice.
And you, Kyle, are doing very good on your lock plays for the season. 25-15-1, a nice 63% chunk there. 2-1 last week here, but 6-3 in your last 2 weeks, as we always see.
2-2. 2-2. I'll be fair.
Two and two last week, but 6-3 in your last two. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, it's going well. It's going well. Some weeks you see everything clearly. Some weeks you don't. This week is very cloudy. Mm-hmm. I'm very bitter, as you know, from talking off air about this Baltimore-Pittsburgh situation. I wanted to unload the mortgage on Pittsburgh. Then Ben Roethlisberger goes out and gets hurt. And he also kind of ruined the open I had for the show.
Okay.
Because I wanted to talk about a couple things here before we break down the individual games. Those who listen to our preview shows and have been listening weekly know that we have given great deference to the NFC all year over the AFC, starting the very beginning before they even started playing the games. We told you the NFC was a way deeper conference. But up until Monday night, I was ready to make a huge mea culpa. Before the year started, I said only three AFC teams would win 10 games. I said I had Houston, New England, who I obviously believe still will, and then Pittsburgh. Before the Roethlisberger injury, I was about to change and say, you know what, there's going to be five that win at least 11. I think the playoff picture, particularly in the AFC, but in both conferences as well, I can make a case, I think it's over. I think right now, you said we're doing week 11, I can tell you the 12 playoff teams, AFC, New England's going to win their division in a walk, they'll get a bye. Baltimore and Pittsburgh are both probably going to get in, even with the Roethlisberger injury. I think Pittsburgh's going to hold on. And I don't like Baltimore, by the way, very much. I think they're overrated. But I still think both will get in. Houston's a lock. Indianapolis is going to get a wild card. They're 6-3.
We said that was a play-in game with them in Miami.
Yeah, we did. And, I mean, with San Diego gagging last week and then Miami suffering a horrible loss to Tennessee at home, which I think is going to wreck their season. They're essentially now three games back because they lose the tiebreaker. And then Denver's obviously going to win the West.
Yeah.
Make a case. I mean, the only teams you can make a case with, I guess, are like Cincinnati.
Who waited like 5 weeks to show a pulse.
Yeah, who I guess, and they're playing Kansas City this week, so they, I guess, could make it interesting. But, I mean, who's going to bet on like a San Diego or something like that?
How about teams with the wonderful consistency of, say, Tennessee or Buffalo?
No. And here's the thing. You know, Buffalo, who plays Thursday, had they beaten see, it's interesting that the two teams that play Thursday, Miami and Buffalo, a game that I don't really have a strong opinion on. I don't know what you like.
I'm leaning Buffalo, and that's the pick putting up on Twitter.
Okay.
Everybody's hearing this after the fact,
yeah,
of course.
Buffalo
weighing 2.5.
With Thursday, I don't have a strong opinion either way. I think it's interesting with those teams, just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This is my take on the game. Both of those teams' seasons, when you look back, will be sunk by a home loss to Tennessee.
Yeah.
A bad Tennessee team. Buffalo, if you remember, because there was a bye, I believe, in there. So it's now 4 weeks back almost.
Mm-hmm.
Lost by one at home to Tennessee.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to the podcast before that week, I said this is a huge game for Buffalo because they have Houston and New England on deck, which are going to both be losses, which they were.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could beat Tennessee, they'd still be at 4-5 in this discussion. Their schedule is very easy here on out. But at 3-6, I can't buy the Bills. No. But anyway, in the NFC, though, tell me these aren't your six playoff teams. G-Men win the East. All the other three teams are all sorry no account teams
suck.
In that division.
Yep.
And I know you hate them all, too. Let's be honest. Yeah, you hate the Cowboys, the Redskins, and the Eagles. You hate all of them.
They are
personally.
Dennis Green thought they were.
Yeah. The Falcons have almost essentially, despite last week's loss, they've won the South for a couple weeks.
Yep.
In the North, you're going to have Bears, Packers. The Niners will get in out of the West. And I think the Seahawks are a lock for that last wild card.
Yeah. Tampa Bay's making a run, but that's...
I don't believe in them.
I don't really
get into
either.
In this program.
Yeah, and that's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. They do not play one another this year. So, by the way, speaking of Tampa Bay, even the way the Bucs are playing, easily the most interesting news of the week down there comes from Jill Kelly and this whole angle with U.S. Central Command, the whole Petraeus scandal.
Oh, here we
clearly,
go. Yeah.
You know, and it's a thing where I just found this out the other day. You know how investigators ended up cracking the case here? They were reading the emails. And they kept seeing references to Jill Kelly's Cox bundle, and they're going, wait a minute, her household has satellite TV.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Rimshot,
you worked on that one yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I could see the wheels turning when I was ranting. I was like, am I just not interesting? Don't answer that if you're listening. But I was like, am I just not interesting?
No,
what is he doing there?
I was taking it
what is
in.
He doing there? He's going somewhere here. I'm like, I talked to you this before air. I know you agree with me that the 12 teams are set.
I do agree with you. You did a good job of laying it out.
But at the same time, though I said it, it's important not to be married to what you think with these picks because there still could be week-to-week surprises.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Because, you know, I think the Seahawks and Colts are going to get in as wild cards doesn't mean, they're favored, they'll win.
Right.
You know, I mean, they'll lose. I mean, you know, I just think when I look at remaining schedules, I just get a general gauge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Seattle's got enough home games left that, you know, they'll do fine because they're going to win almost every – I mean, they're going to win almost every home game.
Right.
Same, the Ravens are the same thing too, but let's get on with the games here. I just think that I'd be shocked if it's not those 12 teams, particularly the AFC. The Colts, who – you know, there's a lot of questions. I don't think people, just because they were a 2-win team last year, can wrap their head around, oh, this team's a lock to get to the playoffs. It'll certainly happen.
Right.
I just don't see who can unseat them.
That's what it is right now.
I just don't see them.
It's all about positioning with 6 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, people kind of, you know, like, I don't know if they did, but I could sense that there's probably a lot of snickering when we talked about the importance of that Indianapolis-Miami game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we told you that, you know, because the Colts at Jacksonville last Thursday, if the Colts win, they're going to get to 6-3.
Exactly.
And here they are.
And a logical segue, I complained at the time that week. I think that the CBS sent like one of their C or D teams to go cover that
here
game.
Here we go.
We start this week here, and again, having already touched on the Buffalo-Miami game. The execrable Eagles at the execrable Redskins, 3-6, 3-6. So, of course, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call for this one here.
Tyree with the catch.
Washington's laying 3.5. That's been a pretty consistent 3.5 during the week here. Nice call on there, Joe. But
Manningham with the catch.
Outstanding. In taking a look
the
at
the Giants
this game,
win their second World Series in 3 years.
As you can clearly hear, the crowd is going wild.
Yes.
This is a scene unmatched in its intensity for anything that I've ever witnessed.
Oh, poor Joe Buck. He's got a good voice, and he seems like a nice guy.
He kind of leaves himself open to it a little bit, I suppose. 3.5 that the Redskins are laying in this one here, they being at home. Just in looking at it, with the amount of just general chaos going on with the Eagles right now, Nick Foles gets thrown in, which you had said, be careful what you wish for. It didn't happen because of Vic getting benched. It happened because of him getting injured. But this is where we're at. Too much chaos here. I say take Washington at home.
This was on the precipice of becoming a recommended play for me, but it's not. Small lean to the Redskins. I don't like the hook. The hook scares me. Because there's a lot of unpredictability here. Now, the Redskins are off. There's a couple things I like about the Redskins in this matchup. One is they're off a bye.
That helps.
Two, These are the things that I look at. Mm-hmm. Their home record is, like, awful over the last 2 years. They have to start winning. Like, I'm a believer that you have to win some home games. And I can't remember what it is. I think they're, like, 1-8 or 1-9 their last
it's
10 home
awful,
games.
Yeah.
It's I mean, they won one this year, I think. I can't remember who they beat. I think I want to say they beat Minnesota at home or something. Mm-hmm. But you know my feelings on Nick Foles.
Yes.
He's not that good. Yeah, at one point, he was – I could make a case 2 years ago, and I don't – pardon me if this I'm repeating myself. We talked about this last week, that he was like the fifth best quarterback in the Pac-12 2 years ago. Last year, he got his coach
you
fired.
You were right about that. That's true.
So the Eagles are going to be lucky to win one or two more games all year. It's over. I mean, it's going to get really ugly. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Their offensive line stinks. The defense stinks. Washington's going to win, but I'm leery of a field goal victory, and thus I'm leery of the hook. Just a slight lean Washington.
Okay.
In two teams that are not going anywhere,
oh,
by
the
way.
Oh, they are not.
These teams just reek of 6-10 at the end of the year. Eagles could be worse. Eagles, I think, are going to finish in last place.
They very well could be. You talk about a team that is just sharply regressing to their particular mean. How about the Arizona Cardinals? And you and I called that. The 4-5 Cardinals, 0-5 in their last five games at the 8-1 Falcons. Our boy Kenny Albert on the call for this one here with Moose Johnson and, oh, yeah, Tony Siragusa as well. Atlanta is laying 10.5.
Such
in
insight from the sidelines, though.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good hit there. As I do my best, Tony Siragusa. Yeah. The Falcons actually laying 9.5, down from 10.5 earlier in the week. Again, the wheels have just been coming off completely for Arizona in their recent games. Haven't even really been that close by and large in some of them. The San Francisco game was kind of shockingly embarrassing, that 24-3 loss 2 games ago. Again, as strange as it is to say, they haven't been the same since Kevin Cobb went down. Not that I'm saying that has anything to do with it directly, but again, just offensive disarray. The running game is in the crapper right now, partially due to injuries. I see this as a good bounce back opportunity for Atlanta. I haven't been afraid to go against Atlanta at home when they're laying a big number. I was on Oakland against them earlier this
season,
and they covered. So I'm not afraid. The Falcons have been kind of a pet team of mine. I'm not afraid to go against them. But, again, this looks like an opportunity this week here to take out some frustrations on a reeling Cardinals team. I say Falcons going away.
I love Arizona. This is a recommended play.
Okay.
I love Arizona here. I had this. They're off a bye. They're off six straight ATS losses. What, are they not going to cover every game? That's what I think. That again, last week, one of the two, you know, I went 2-2. One of the wins I had was one of my better wins of the year, going with Cincinnati against the Giants. I'm going to use the same principle here. People are going to be too quick to call for the bounce back for Atlanta off their first loss of the season, just like the Giants. They were awful. Oh, the Giants, they'll bounce back. They'll beat the Bengals. Arizona's certainly not going to win the game straight up, but they're going to keep it close. Well, you mark my words.
A little bit of a counterpoint on this. I'm not going to say it's entirely undeserved, but the Falcons were a fairly disrespected 8-0 team.
What have I called them all year? The pavement of the NFL.
Yeah.
When you look at Atlanta, Peyton, for those of you who don't understand the reference, pavement was kind of a cult favorite in the mid-1990s of alternative rock fans,
yeah.
And they were very good. I own all their albums. I enjoy all their albums. But they never had any mainstream success like a lot of their counterparts, and it was kind of one of those things, why? You know, they're good. The songwriting, you look at it, and there's dozens of other critics bands and, you know, movies and whatever. You can come up with it, but I call Atlanta critics band. They don't do anything wrong. But where's the, you know, they don't have a, you know, like Pavement. Pavement didn't have a hit song. Atlanta doesn't have a playoff win.
Right.
So I can see why they're disrespected. 2 years ago, they did the same thing. They were like 13-3. They had home field advantage, and they got buried by the Packers at home in their first playoff game. They're going to be in the same situation this year looking forward. Look, Atlanta's going to be the top seed in the NFC. But the way I've got it projected right now, they're going to meet the winner of Green Bay or the Giants, which I have as a wild card game.
Okay.
Are you going to be crazy about Atlanta in that game?
No,
hosting any of those teams. Now, I'll give the Falcons credit. The two teams they've lost to the last 2 years of the playoffs have gone on to win the Super Bowl. But they've looked so gutless. And again, they had all those chances to win the game. Couldn't do it. They were right there. That was Atlanta Falcons. I don't think right now I do not have them as a top five team in the league.
Well, here's my that's fascinating. I got them number three. That's the lowest I've had them in quite some time. Here's my point as it relates to this game, though. As a fairly disrespected 8-0 team now that's lost, aren't they going to have even more of a bee in their bonnet having come off of that tough loss last week?
Shouldn't they have against the Saints, though? We talked about all this is their year to kick the Saints around.
Okay.
They kind of were acting a little, pounding their chest, woo-wooing, and they got hit in the mouth by a Saints team. I mean, granted, I know it was on the road, but, Atlanta's a team built for indoors. Let me look at Atlanta real quick here. Look at some of their results. Beat Dallas at home by 6. Beat Oakland at home by 3. Carolina at home by 2.
Hasn't been pretty.
Denver at home by 6.
I say.
They beat Washington by 7.
I say they know how to win the close games.
That's true, but I'm just saying for my point, that's fine. I think they're going to win a close game here is
okay.
My point. Exactly.
Right.
I don't think Arizona's going to go in and beat them outright.
Okay.
But, I definitely like them plus a big number. A team off a bye, 6 straight ATS losses. That's something I just look at. It's
okay.
One of those things where it doesn't make sense. It's the old, they're just due.
Okay.
I just think Arizona's due to play a good game because they haven't played one the last 2.
No.
But those were against the 49ers and Green Bay, who I regard as better teams than Atlanta.
Ooh, interesting. There's a clip and save take. We'll be revisiting that, I'm sure, through the course of the season. This is a pair of teams now from the NFC South staying in the same division. 5-4 Tampa at 2-7 Carolina. This is a line where Tampa is laying 1.5 up from 1 earlier in the week. Again, I've spoken to this recently on the program, and I've had a little uptick the last couple weeks in my luck as I've tried to do this a little bit more. Putting some of the things to work that you've tried to teach me as far as getting hip to which way the money's flowing, smart money versus the mouth breathers in the general public here. I was getting a sense that there was a lot of smart money flowing towards Carolina in this game. Certainly this is not a game where you would look at it and figure that anybody's going to give that much of a chance the way that Tampa Bay's going. So based almost completely on that, I'm going to go with Carolina taking the 1.5.
I didn't like the line for Washington Philly, so I scratched that from a recommended play, and then we'll talk about Sunday night a little bit later. That wound up being scratched, too. I wanted 3 recommended plays this week, and this just made the cut.
Okay.
I'm going with Carolina, as you can imagine. Obviously, I expected a lot more out of them this year. Had a good start last week against Denver. Did you watch any of that game? They came down. They were working the screen passes. They get out to a 7-0 lead on Denver. And people talk about Philly's offensive line. Mm-hmm. Man, Carolina's offensive line stunk last week. Newton was running for his life on every play. You know my feelings on Ron Rivera. He's a terrible coach. I just think that Tampa Bay, again, it's one of those things where one, Carolina's got revenge from a close week 1 loss at Tampa, 16-10.
Which was a tone setter for the season for both teams.
Agreed. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, okay.
And I just think that, I know Tampa Bay can score. They've scored 36, 42, and 34 points the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina's defense isn't very good. I see Carolina winning in a shootout. I just think the market's kind of tipped on Tampa Bay. You know, to me, I don't buy them as a playoff contender. A win here, I kind of would. It would be their 6th win. I only thought they'd be a 6-win team all year.
Yeah.
So, and Carolina, to me, is better than 2-7. I know that they've had some ugly results. You know, last week certainly wasn't good. They lost 36-14. But other than that, the Giants game on Thursday, all their losses have been close. Atlanta by 2, Seattle by 4, Dallas by 5, Bears by 1. They're kind of that stuff tends to even itself out. I'm a big fan of that
mm-hmm.
your record in close games will even out. If you have a great record 1 year, you're going to kind of stink the next year. So I long term, I'm not giving up on this team. I'd like to see them make a coaching change. I don't wish for anyone to lose their job, except Rush Limbaugh. But but Ron Rivera needs to go. But I think Carolina, they get a win. they get a win.
Rush Limbaugh just got four more profitable years, just like he was hoping for all year long, although he'll never admit it. He got the outcome he wanted.
Oh, I see, sir.
Listen to me sound bitter. Yeah. In this next one here, sneak preview of the next game here, I just have to ask you, when you say better than the 2-7 record, what would you say to all the Facebook GMs of the world who've been saying that about the Cleveland Browns?
Start.
Well,
you know. The Browns, I'll say this. They've played better, I guess, than I thought they would.
I love the bitter beer face you're making as you say better.
Well, no, because, you know, look, it's very simple. When people want to tell me about the Browns and, oh, they're on the upswing, you know what I tell them? Where's the talent? Where's the good players? I mean, I guess they play hard. They're physical. But
there's a handful, a tiny handful of impact players and a good infrastructure of the kind of guys you need to fill out a roster. They just need more of that kind of stuff and a few more standout players, frankly.
Yeah, but look, I mean, they've been tough. They've been a tough out. I mean, I could argue that though the record at this point last year was better, wasn't it? I think so. I think they had at least three wins at this point last year.
Yeah, because they started better.
Yeah, because they started 2-1, and then I know the bottom dropped out. I could look at that. I mean, they're better than Kansas. I'll say this. They opened the year last in my power rankings. They're definitely better than Kansas City and Jacksonville. I mean, if you want to call that progress, they're definitely better than Kansas City and Jacksonville.
Well, that's the taller than Mickey Rooney award.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And by the way, I'm going to take them in this game. This is one of my three recommended plays.
All right, yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys laying more than a score off a phony win over a sorry no-account Eagles team.
Yeah.
If there isn't a better play against spot for how about them Cowboys, I've never seen it. And plus the Cowboys, too, could be pointing. Remember, they're on a short week, Thanksgiving. They'll be hosting the rival Redskins.
Right.
The easy for them to look over the Browns. The Browns off their bye, too. That's what Cleveland and Arizona, to me, very similar plays.
Boy,
big
if you
dog.
Give Pat Shurmur 2 weeks to get ready for a team.
Yeah. Who knows? He might actually have the 15-play scripted, right? But, I mean, look. I mean, if you look at the Browns, I mean, lost by 1 to the Eagles, 7 to the Bengals, 10 to the Bills. They only have that. Their worst loss all year was by 14 to the Giants. They led that game actually 14-0.
They did.
So they've been competitive in every game, and Dallas is just so wretched when favored. What's their record as a favorite? 6-18 last 24 times laying points.
Yeah, pretty horrible. We actually never set this one
3-12 at home. 3-12 at home.
This is a battle of two of the most storied franchises in the history of the NFL. The 2-7 Browns at the 4-5. Cowboys. Again, yeah, like you said, Dallas is laying 8. It's down from 9.5. So looks like the smarts are on this one and really
it jumped. Well, here's the thing too. This is what I really like about this line.
Early,
this one jumped from -9.5 to -7.5. I mean, early. I'm always on the computer at about 8:50 right before that Sunday night game starts, which is when the lines come out. Early, big move in favor of the Browns, and now it's come back up to 8. As you hope it would. How about them Cowboys fans?
Yep.
Are coming in. Oh, they'll kill the Browns. The Cowboys are so great. They won. And by the way, I think the Cowboys, because they'll win this game. I think. I mean, if they lose to the Browns, I mean, how typical would that be? Jason Garrett. You talk about these are two of the worst coaches, by the way, in the league, along with Ron Rivera.
Hard to disagree with that.
But a win here and a win over Washington,
all
of a sudden Dallas is 6-5. I think they're one of the few teams that I didn't mention when I went over the 12 teams that I think make the playoffs that can make it interesting. I think they're going to get to about 8-8 or 9-7, the Cowboys, which is what I thought they'd be before the year.
Which could get you a 5 seed in the AFC, but you're in the wrong conference for that kind of crap.
Dallas is a better team than Indianapolis. I think Dallas, if they were in the AFC, would make the playoffs.
Possibly. They're going to be an inconsistent team, whatever conference they're in. They're not a well-coached team.
No, they're not at all.
No, they're certainly not. I'm on the Browns for the same reason you are, just trying to follow the smart money here. So I'm saying take the 8 points myself. This next one here, again, we go from one team featuring an obnoxious team that people talk about for no good reason, from the Cowboys, into this next game here with the Jets in the same genre of football coverage here. The 3-6 Jets at the 3-5-1 St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, a little kissing your sister action last week with the tie.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny? Tongue at the end there.
Yeah, I had the game on with the DirecTV, and I'm watching it last. And I was just doing work. I wasn't really paying attention to it. I just kind of would look up. And all of a sudden, I kind of looked at the clock. Like, this game's still going on. And I looked how much time was left. This was in the overtime. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a tie. A tie? That's kind of bad.
It is. It is. I'm looking at this one here again. St. Louis is laying 3.5 as they have been the whole week. Yeah.
A tie?
Yeah.
How bad are the Jets, by the way?
Kind of hard to believe. They are, but it's, you know, for as much as I dog on them here, I think they have an opportunity if they stay committed to the run. I've been saying all along, Sean Green is no great shakes. But methinks that's what they're probably going to try and do to take some of the steam off of Sanchez. And I think in this instance it might work. I don't know if they're going to win, but I think they can cover the 3.5. I'm going to say take the Jets.
This is the first game this week that I have just no interest in.
Okay.
The Jets are really bad. I mean, really bad. They're a bottom 10 team in the league. They're really awful.
Clearly, yeah.
They're really – but so are the Rams, kind of. But the thing is, you also – what I'm nervous about is that the kind of under-the-radar team is favored by 3.5 over the more marquee team.
That is strange.
And it's clearly designed to attract Jets players, especially with the hook. And I'm just leery. I don't want to lay points with St. Louis, but I'm not. I know much of the year I said, you know, go against what you saw the previous week from the Jets. And look, I allowed myself, this was after we did the show last week, to be talked into taking the Jets last week at Seattle. What an awful pick that was.
It was.
You had Seattle. That was one of your big three with Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
And usually I said, yeah, always go against what happened the previous week with the Jets. I just think they're bad. We've talked about it now for 2 years.
They're at the point where you can go on what they did the last week.
It's not Sanchez's fault. They just have no good player. This is an awful team.
It is. It is a horrible team at this point, beset by some of the injuries offensively. But, yeah, I mean, Sanchez doesn't have a whole lot to work with. It's a dire situation there and only getting worse. Two teams for which none of those words apply, the 6-3 Colts at the 6-3 Patriots. On this one, I'm very surprised that CBS is showing the restraint of putting Kevin Harlan, Solomon Wilcots on this one here.
Who got their where's the A team? Where's your boy Fim?
Apparently there's a network rule that they're going to be on every Peyton Manning game because they're doing the San Diego Denver game.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Apparently,
well, you know, they like to do their homework, you know, follow makes it easier on them.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, I mean, I'm sure they'll still be running a lot of obnoxious promos during the game about, you know, Brady versus Luck equals Brady versus Manning. They'll be trying to make all the comparisons.
Oh, isn't that going
to
be great, too? This has all the makings of that great, you know, established star versus up-and-coming prospect wrestling match. You know what I'm saying? will Brady put Andrew Luck over? I see a glass ceiling coming for Indianapolis.
I see a glass ceiling coming for him, too. And after the last game where I was on the Jets, the road dog, oh, you didn't know? Not going to be the same thing here in this game here. I'm laying the points in this one here. New England is laying 9. It had been 9.5 earlier in the week. I think this is going to be a game where they're going to be in a position to pull away. The Colts are clearly a team that should get the 6th seed at this point, possibly the 5, depending on what happens with Roethlisberger over the long term here. But there's a big line between them and the legitimate playoff contenders in the AFC.
Yeah,
I think it's going to manifest.
I mean, the Colts, let's be honest,
they
will not win.
Stop them.
They will not win a playoff game if they get there. They'll lose to. I've currently got them. You talk about storylines. How great will that get that video package fired up when Denver meets Indianapolis? My God, when Peyton Manning shakes Andrew Luck's hand at midfield, what was said? Get that video package. With the first pick in 97, with the first pick in 02 in 2012. Fire it up already. Come on, NFL Films. But, yeah, I'm with you. The Patriots are going to win big here. You got 2 6-3 teams. Clearly Vegas making no bones about who they prefer. Small lean. Small. This is not one of my recommended plays.
Okay.
I'm already done with my recommended three. It was.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I mention Cleveland is one of my recommended three?
All right, so Cleveland's
Cleveland, Arizona. Yes, I didn't make that clear. Cleveland, Arizona, Carolina.
You were saying there was an ugly one coming. I thought perhaps it was going to be the next one here.
No. But I just think that, look, the Colts have to make it kind of interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have no chance. I have noble chance, faith that they'll win this game. So, you know, New England kind of a close call against Buffalo last week. I'm a little leery of laying more than a score with them, which is why it's not recommended. But
right.
They'll win here, and a small lean on the cover.
All right. Well, this next game, very rarely do you see something like this. In my power rankings presently that you can find, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, I'm probably not the only person in America that has Houston 1, Jacksonville 32.
Yep.
They play each other this week. The 1-8 Jags at the 8-1 Texans. So insult to injury, it's on Houston's home field. It's a 15-point line down from 16. This may be a little bit surprising, given some of my tendencies and given that I was I said earlier in the season. Now, then again, earlier in the season, I think it was like a 7 or 8 point line,
yeah,
which I said was ridiculous, redonkulous.
Yeah, and the game was in Jacksonville, too. But, yeah you could take sometimes you can take advantage of value with road favorites.
Yeah, and I think, again, I mean, not exactly a short week. It was a Sunday night game, but it's a thing where it was
kind of a big win for the Texans, though. They haven't had a lot of big primetime wins.
It was, and this is a possible sandwich game here because you got the Thanksgiving Day game against Detroit.
Yeah,
which I hope
they might be looking to just get a lead and get out of town.
Which I hope in my shoot comment of the day that when I'm down spending Thanksgiving with my brother's family that they'll at least let me watch a little bit of that game.
Oof.
As opposed to children's programming. Did I say that out loud?
Tough sledding.
Yeah.
Tough sledding on Turkey Day for Ricky Morris.
I'm sure hoping I'm going to get to watch some of that one there. Yeah, this is a classic sandwich-type game here. Jacksonville's getting 15. I don't know how. Maybe they kick like 4 field goals, but I think they can just slither underneath it. I'm going to say take the points.
I would never lay this number.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have no interest here. No interest. I mean, the problem is that Houston could win like 20-3. That's the problem.
I mean,
how's Jacksonville going to move the ball?
That's a very good question. They can't run it for crap without Mo Jones-Drew.
Yeah. And their quarterback situation's bad. Jacksonville, they may have won their only game this year.
I think they probably did. I mean, unless somebody gets really, really, really lazy.
Who do they play? Are they going to win again? Who do they play the rest of the way?
They've got.
They're not going to win a road game. So who do they play at home?
It's going to be a very difficult slate for them going forward. I think there's very little question about that. The rest of the way, they're in that AFC South division, which of course is very.
Yeah, I mean that's right. Have they played Tennessee at home yet?
Here's their next games. Here I can complete my filibuster as I flip back to the schedule.
Okay.
After at Houston, it's Tennessee
at home.
Tennessee's at home. At Buffalo, Jets at home, at Miami, New England,
nope.
And at Tennessee.
You know, those are some. They might win one more. Tennessee, the Jets, and Buffalo are three bad teams. They can maybe beat one of them. I'd love to see them beat the Jets.
They're playing Tennessee twice.
Yeah.
And Tennessee basically is like that girl that's up for anything, so you never know. So
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, who knows? Didn't you say they get the Jets at home? I mean, by that point,
yeah.
The Jets are getting a full mutiny on their hands.
Yeah. Well, who's going to have the bigger roll of postage stamps to mail it in? That's going to
yes,
be an all-time
for
classic.
True.
This next one here, the essence of mediocrity against more of the essence of suck. We go from the 32 team in the league, as most people would say, to the 31 team, as you and I probably both have them. I know I do. Kansas City at 1-8, hosting the 4-5 Cincinnati Bengals. Marv Albert and the execrable Rich Gannon on the call in this one here.
I like Rich Gannon, former league MVP.
Not a fan. First of all, he really let me down drafting him. I drafted him way too high the year after the Super Bowl. But I don't like his coverage of quarterbacks. He's the essence of a guy on air who's just going off of, you know, whatever prep sheet somebody handed him, and you know, a guy who's just the essence of a guy who just flies in on Friday and thinks he knows everything about a football team. I've watched him on enough crappy Browns games over the years.
He does do a lot of Browns games, from what I understand. I always have you know, the sound of some other game on.
So. Yeah, I've suffered through enough Rich Gannon coverage over the years, as I editorialize pointlessly here. Cincinnati, I have the self-awareness to say that. Cincinnati weighing 3.5 on the road in this situation. This is a weird one. Again, unlike you, I've been bagging on Kansas City the whole year. And yet, this is one where, again, This feels like it might be like the Bengals' version of what they did to the Giants last week.
Yeah.
It feels like it could be a letdown. The Bengals, they think they're alive again. Yeah.
And a win here coupled with an Indianapolis loss would get them one behind the wild card and make it interesting. If you do believe there's going to be any interest in the AFC wild card picture,
yeah,
it would come maybe after – it would be with Cincinnati and Indianapolis.
But that fugly four-game losing streak that they had there is going to leave scars, I think, that are going to finish them for the season. I wouldn't rule out that they win this game, but this looks like a rallying kind of a game for Kansas City. I think they are going to cover the 3.5.
I like it. If this was anyone but Kansas City, I'd be all over the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Slight lean to the Chiefs. I'll tell you why. The Bengals turn the ball over a lot, not as nearly as many as Kansas City. I mean, with 29 in their first 8 games. But Andy Dalton, he was averaging 2 turnovers. You talked about that 4-game losing streak they had. He was averaging 2 turnovers per game himself during that streak. This is also the Bengals' first road game in 5 weeks, Ricky, so it's a tricky spot. They're 3-13 and 1 against the number, last 17 times as a favorite. So I'll give a small lean to Kansas City here. I think the Bengals can pull it out, but it'll be close.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be close. Kansas City in a short week, too, off a tough loss, to overtime loss to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I just can't back the Chiefs here. I want to, but I can't.
Yeah.
Completely.
Given what they've done this year, that's very understandable. Two of the 3 teams ahead of them in the AFC West are playing in the aforementioned Nance Sims game here. The 4-5 Chargers at the 6-3 Broncos, as CBS, yes, once again sticks their A-team on a Peyton Manning game. Go figure. This is a line of Denver laying 7.5, up from 7 earlier in the week. Again, I picked San Diego to win the division. They've proved me wrong. I picked San Diego, I believe, to cover against Denver the first time they played. Proved me wrong. I think everybody's on Denver just a little too much at the moment, maybe a little bit off of San Diego too much at the moment, especially with the hook. I can see them sliding underneath. And, yeah, they're a live dog. If they ever wake up, if they ever, you know, start playing, especially offensively like they're capable of doing here, they could win a game like this. It wouldn't have been shocking a month or 6 weeks ago to say that they would, and if you just look at the talent on paper, it wouldn't and shouldn't be shocking. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they can handle 7.5. I think they can get underneath that. I'm going to take them.
If it was anyone but San Diego, I'd love the dog here.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, small lean to the Chargers, I guess. I'm kind of like you, that I'm not in love as in love with Denver as I think the rest of the – or the majority of pundits are.
Like, I don't have them on the top tier of
I was
teams.
Just about to ask you.
Yeah.
I was just about to ask you. I elevated them to 7th this week.
Okay.
That's the highest they've been all year. But I don't have them as a top 5 team like some do.
I've got them at 9, actually, top of the second tier. I've got a second tier that's 4 deep: Denver, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis.
Ooh, you have Indianapolis higher than I do.
Somebody's got to be 12, dude. Have you seen the NFL recently?
Oh, well, I don't do it like – I mean, to me –
Oh, now you're saying they're not a second tier team. I get that, but I mean somebody's got to be 12.
I mean, yeah, I don't do it like whoever the playoff team is, they have to be 12.
No, but that's drawing a line underneath the 6 teams of both conferences the same way you are.
Okay, well, see, I'm kind of not doing that. You'd be nauseated to see some of the. I think both Dallas. I have both Dallas and New Orleans above Indianapolis in my power rankings.
See, I don't. I have them towards the top of the third tier. I go 13 through 16: Tampa, Minnesota, New Orleans, Dallas. What I have.
I have Tampa and Minnesota in that same range.
Okay.
But I have Indy down a little bit in Dallas and New Orleans a little higher.
Okay.
The Broncos, I'm pretty steadfast, too. Here's the thing. Not only do I know the playoff pick, the teams, I'm kind of certain on a lot of the positions, too. I think Denver, because they lost to both New England and Houston, remember, are going to wind up with that third seed.
Yeah.
Some people think they're winning out. Their schedule is not hard looking here on out. They could win out.
It's possible.
I mean, look at their – I mean, tell me a loss on there.
Well, it's very possible. When you look at what they got beyond this week, at Kansas City, Tampa at home, that's going to be challenging. At Oakland on a Thursday, challenging just because these Thursday games are such cruddy. You throw a lot out the window. At Baltimore.
Okay, there you go. There you go. That's probably their
Cleveland
loss.
Cleveland at home, KC
That's
home.
Probably their loss. That's probably their loss right there at Baltimore. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Now, again, the funny thing is, knowing you, if Baltimore was in the same time zone, you might not be saying that. I'm guessing.
What do you mean?
Like, if it was like, let's say the Baltimore Ravens played in Phoenix, you might not be so quick to say that
It's
like,
I
know you are about time zone
issues. I am. It's fair. Hey, look at Oakland last week. Yeah. Hello, the game started, guys. If there was if there was ever a time for the Chargers to wake up, I mean, what a huge revenge game. After that gag on Monday Night Football they had.
It is. That's one more reason I like them just to slide under.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that one, and then the Monday night game, this is a real shame because on paper, such a great game. 7-2 Bears at the 6-2-1 49ers.
I'm sure that brings great glee to you because this is actually one of their better matchups they've had.
My heart bleeds for them. Well, and it will be a close and competitive game. Just, I think, probably not very exciting. It could be of the 12-9 ilk. Because both starting quarterbacks, I got to think, ain't going to be seeing the field here. Certainly Jay Cutler, I think, won't and shouldn't be under the circumstances with the concussion. By the way, I retweeted the other day from the Peyton Manning parody account.
Yes,
where he was saying,
Peyton's head or whatever
Peyton's
it is.
Peyton's head, yeah. Yes. Or he said, hey, ESPN, if you see a smiling, happy Jay Cutler, don't be alarmed. He has a concussion.
Oh, come on. That's rough. Yeah, well.
And Al Smith's not going to go either for San Fran, I got to think. And this is a chance to see Colin Kaepernick.
Well, he's probable, now, I don't know what that means.
Okay.
But it seems that he's more likely to play than Cutler.
That certainly is true. We talked about this off air, how hard it was to find a line anywhere. You did find a line eventually of San Francisco weighing 5. Under the circumstances, even with the travel, I still like the Bears to get underneath that line. I think the Bears are the better team on a neutral field, and I think, again, that it may be a little bit tough coming off of that game last week with Houston, but I don't want to oversimplify, but it's almost hard to say. I know the schedule is what it is with two top-tier teams back-to-back. It's just hard for me to see Chicago losing twice in a row, as strong as they've been playing. So I certainly think they can cover the 5.
I'll be honest, I give, particularly without Cutler, we saw how they fell apart last year without him.
They didn't have Jason Campbell. Campbell's a stabilizer. He's not a great player, but he's a stabilizer.
Yeah, I mean, he's better with that. I'd give a small lean to the Niners, but I can't play this under the given set. Like, you don't know. I mean, who's going to be out there? I mean, I'll probably wait till Monday night to make if I do anything, I'll wait. But like as of right now, I just give a little bit of a slight lean to the Niners. You're right. It's going to be a low scoring game, and it's a tough turnaround for the Bears after playing the Texans. I can see them losing this game, making it back to back losses. I can see them losing again to the Packers, and I can still see them winning the division.
That is entirely possible.
I can still see him. I think the Bears are going to be the second seed at 12-4 in the AFC. Them and Atlanta get the byes.
They very well
could.
And
the Niners, that tie last week, you know, we kind of joked about it earlier. Yeah. That's going to cost them, I think, a first-round bye.
It's all done.
Because I've got them finishing, you know, they'll probably finish 11-4-1, 10-5-1 in that range. So, yeah, I mean, that tie is going to wind up hurting them in the long run.
Well, and I say this as somebody who's had this happen.
And they'll be the third seed, the Niners.
I say this as somebody who's had this happen.
These teams will meet again.
Yeah, they will. Frequently in fantasy football, where I've had ties. And it's so annoying. Whenever that happens to me, it's always some loser team that just groin punches me by, you know, staggering up to 29 points on my worst week of the season. So I know what that's like. It can help you because it will keep you out of tiebreakers. So if you perform strong enough, it'll push you over the hump. But, yeah, like you said, it always seems like it ends up hurting you more so. It's going to cost you from being in a tiebreaker that you would have won. You're going to be a half game back. So we have to see how that plays out. Going to our 3 recommended plays of the week, my big 3. By the way, the 4 teams on the bye this week, Minnesota, Giants, Seattle, and Tennessee.
Real quick on that before you get to them, I wanted to bring up a trend.
Okay.
Going into last week, this is something to keep in mind for next year because the situation no longer presents itself with this being the last week of byes. Teams going into their bye week, going into last week, were 3-17 against the spread.
Wow.
Which is awful for those who don't understand what that means. Just awful. You know, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know what that means.
Yeah.
But they actually went 3-1 last week, teams heading into the bye. There were some surprises for me, teams like Tennessee and Minnesota. The Giants were a loser. I went against them that and then But and Seattle covered too against the Jets.
Sure.
But so but still overall that just means 6-18 against the spread going into a bye week.
Okay.
So
well, there's something worth hanging on to for future reference.
Yep.
No question. This next one here, I had to query you about this one. This, by the way, I had a real dickens of a time finding three games this week, especially the last game. I could find two games, but the third one in particular, I'm having to basically just use chaos theory on my third play this week here. I'd asked you about this off here. New Orleans is laying 4.5 to Oakland. It started off at 6.5, and yet I was looking online, some of the things you've trained me to look for here, and it looked like the public was just slamming it down on New Orleans with both fists. And yet the line is plummeting. So that tells you that there has to be just an absolute ocean of smart money coming in on Oakland. And in a week where, again, I'm so hard-pressed to find too many recommended plays here, I'm going to go with that. I don't have too many things to really go
on
here.
I like where your head's at.
Oakland getting the 4.5 points at home. Again, I'm still enough of a, Ricky the Square to think that New Orleans is going to win the game outright. But for Oakland to get underneath the 4.5, that's going to be one of my big three plays of the week.
They've been a lot better at home this year than on the – I mean, sir, look, you know my opinion on Oakland in the Eastern time zone. They never win. They just never win, and they got annihilated last week by Baltimore. It was even worse than I thought. I mean, Baltimore was a nice – both my wins last week were really nice. Baltimore and Cincinnati, and both my losses were ugly, Carolina and Detroit. But Oakland's a lot better at home this year. I'll give them a slight lean, not a recommended play. But, I mean, look, they beat Pittsburgh on this field.
Yeah.
But two of the Raiders' wins are Jacksonville and Kansas. I can't – the Raiders are bad. The Raiders I would have as the fourth worst team in the league right now. But the Saints aren't that great on the road, as we know. They've won one road. They've lost at Carolina.
Yeah.
Remember? They lost – they got hammered at Denver their last road game. Look, I think the Saints are going to – they dug themselves too big of a hole.
Yeah.
But they're going to make it interesting, I think. For that. I think them and Dallas are going to put it on and make it very interesting for that last – that's the only race I could see being – that last wild card in the NFC. I think Seattle, just because they're in the clubhouse with the lead, will be able to hold off both New Orleans and Dallas, but it could get a little interesting. New Orleans will win here, but you know, I'd give a slight lean to the Raiders plus the points.
Yeah, and when you look at it too, if you need any kind of microcosm of the difference, we've been talking about it all year long. We talked about it as somewhat of a difference between the conferences. NFC's better. We've been screaming at you progressively more so through the year how much more the advanced the NFC is over the AFC. The fact that the Saints are 4-5, the Raiders with the wins over Jacksonville and Kansas City 3-6, the fact that there's only one game separating these two teams where objectively, all things being equal, neutral field, no other considerations, you have to think that New Orleans would slam them.
Here's the thing, too. I looked at New Orleans. I'm just looking at New Orleans' remaining schedule. It's pretty challenging.
Yeah.
I remember I jotted down. I always jot things down on Sunday night. Kind of my initial okay, you know, in the you got the feeling going, and on Mondays too.
I don't think they're going to win one of the next three, maybe four.
Oh, I think they can beat San Francisco at home,
maybe.
And then Atlanta is going to be tough. At the Giants is tough, but I mean, do you think they'll? I think they'll beat Oakland. I just think that it'll be a close game.
I think they will too.
They'll be 5-5
beyond Oakland.
6-5, 6-7. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think they're going to finish 7.
Oh, it's a buzzsaw after Oakland. San Fran at home, at Atlanta on a Thursday, no less, at the Giants, Tampa at home, at Dallas, Carolina at home. The only thing working in their favor, the last 3 weeks, the only road game's at Dallas, which is probably like 20 minutes at a puddle-jumping jet.
Yeah, and plus, you know, Dallas is not – I see the Saints finishing 8-8.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where we thought. I had them 7-9, 8-8 to start the year. That's where I think they'll finish.
I look forward to seeing in that Dallas game – towards the end of the game, you will see it flashed on the world's largest HD scoreboard, the image of Sean Payton signing a contract with Jerry Jones to coach the Cowboys next year.
My God, is he the devil himself?
Oh, truly outstanding. This next game here, I always have to laugh at how well people know me, about how people can take just a tiny hint on something and call what I'm going to do. I was telling you how difficult it was for me to make a call on the games this week, and you knew that good old Ricky the Square, road favorite Ricky, was going to be getting down on this one. Green Bay laying 3.5 up from 3. At the they are 6-3 as far as their record goes. At the 4-5 Lions, Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the beautifully tanned Laura Oakman on the call for this one. I mean, I hear you on your overall contempt for this strategy of taking Green Bay here. I don't feel good about it. I understand that this is potentially a trap.
They're off the bye. They're off the bye, and they're injured. They have so many injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like that, though. Like, the fact that they're off a bye, I thought that this would be a good opportunity for them. A crushing loss last week for Detroit.
Weren't we both on? That was one of my recommended four.
Yeah, and
It wasn't one of your recommended.
I was on Minnesota. I agreed with
Detroit,
you.
Or Detroit, you mean.
I was on Detroit, yeah. I thought they would win again. It's just so... They're going to be so disheartened. I understand this is a rivalry game, but again, yeah, Green Bay coming off the bye, and like you said, an injured team that needs it. They've won four in a row. People are starting to question them after the start that they were off to. Again, I don't feel good about it. I understand everything that you're saying on paper, but I got to go with my gut on this one here. Green Bay to cover the 3.5 at Detroit.
Green Bay has looked better, haven't they, since that slow start?
They have.
But I just can't do it. I would give them a small belief. I mean, you know me. I don't like road favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But off the bye, I mean, yeah, I would give a small lean to Green Bay, I suppose. But it's going to be close.
Okay.
It's going to be close. Green Bay's got a huge game next week at the Giants, too.
The Giants
will be off their bye.
They
don't want to drop two in a row. I could see the Green Bay losing that one, so I see him winning here.
The last two Super Bowl champions playing on Sunday night next week. That is going to be absolutely gargantuan. That takes us to the Sunday night game for this week. My
God, I can't believe this is your
gold
big play.
Oh, my God.
This is actually worse than Green Bay.
I'm 7-3.
I know you are, but God. Look, and I'll look like a fool if me making funny is wrong. But this, believe it or not, because it's funny, you kind of made mention, I like, love when people know me. That was reference to me when you're like, oh, there's one other one that I like. Because you told me you liked this game.
Yeah.
You told me you liked
I was reluctantly going on Oakland.
You told me you like, and you're like, oh, there's one other game, and you'll probably guess it. I guessed it in like less than a second. I'm like, oh, I looked at the schedule, I'm like, oh, you're on Green Bay, right? This is, you making this pick is worse than Green Bay.
All right, well.
I think.
This is one of the, I haven't followed this as long or as hard as you have as far as, because it's been your business the last several years to follow line moves. Can't remember one quite like this. Baltimore this had started out. They're laying 3.5. They started off getting 3.5. So this sucker's moved a whole touchdown since the Roethlisberger injury. But again, under the circumstances, I'm just looking at this. And again, I'm not ruling out, I'm not dismissing like with Pittsburgh. I'm going to say the same thing that I said about Chicago with Jason Campbell, that under these circumstances here, Roethlisberger being out, they're putting in who, Leftwich, that it's Leftwich, I think, is a caretaker type player, same as Jason Campbell. So I think you're going to have a baseline here. It's not going to be a Caleb Haney situation like the Bears had last year. You're going to have a baseline of competence in that system. I just think the way that everything's going here, I think that the Ravens have got it really revved. I was on them last week. They just beat the dog crap out of Oakland.
I was there, too.
Not real hard to do. You know, you were on that as well. Not real hard to beat up on Oaktown. But, again, I can't go against Baltimore under the circumstances. My 1,000-star gold player to lock of the millennium for NFL Week 11 is going to be the Ravens laying 3.5 on Sunday night at Pittsburgh.
Baltimore's not covering this game. Baltimore, I have seen these before.
Okay.
I know that you can't always, you know, it's sometimes it's not an apples to apples thing when you compare sports. I remember the first time I saw a line move like this when I was in this, this would have been 5-6, it was when Shaq was on the Miami Heat.
Okay.
So we're talking like more than 5 years ago.
Okay.
I think it was the year after they won it all. I'm almost positive it was.
Okay.
Can't remember who they were playing in the first round, but they were playing I want to say it was Chicago. Maybe it was Washington. I don't know. They were playing somebody. And it was announced before, right before, like, about 2 hours before the game that Shaq wouldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
The line shifted. Like, everyone just started betting whoever Miami was playing. Heat won the game outright.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore can – look, I've seen – games where the favorite, and I hate and always tend to stay away from games where the favorite and underdog flip-flop midweek.
Because mm-hmm.
what inevitably happens is the favorite wins but doesn't cover somehow. I screwed up last week. Listen to this.
Minnesota-Detroit was such a game last
I know,
week.
But listen, I can give you a better example about the gambling gods coming down hot. Listen to this game. We don't mm-hmm. talk about college football. I'm going to give you an example. Last week I played a game – Virginia against Miami. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Virginia was a big winner for me 2 weeks ago. They crushed NC State. As a they were a 10.5-point dog. They won the game outright 33-6.
Okay.
It's probably the best college bet I've made all year. Came back with them because Miami's a fairly gutless team, particularly away from home. And Virginia finds itself down. Follow me here. 40-35. They had opened the week as a 1 point dog, closed as a 1.5-point favorite. Follow me?
Yes.
So they're -1.5. Trailing 40-35. Had just given up a safety, thank you very much. So it was 38-35 and then 40-35. Do I even need to tell you what happens?
Probably not.
Virginia's driving. They score a touchdown. And then as they're driving, I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. This is great. A touchdown puts it at 42-40. I'll get in. I'll get the cut. They'll cover by half a point. They get in the red zone. And all of a sudden, it hit me. This awful feeling. I was like, oh, my God. They're going to score a touchdown and go 41-40. And instead of kicking the extra point to go for the cover, they're going to go for two to go up by the field goal. And they'll probably blow it. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow, okay.
So I'm telling you, that whole long-winded rant here, it's too late to bet Baltimore. I'm telling you, I think the line's going to keep going up. It's just, if you wanted to bet Baltimore, this is what I'm saying. You already waited too long.
And here I thought that the awful feeling that you were alluding mm-hmm. to having there at the moment was going to have to do with overdoing it at Qdoba, but this is
No. Oh, God, I've done that a few times. Yes, yes. And then I had to miss the game when I ran to the bathroom. No.
Yeah.
But, no, that's what I'm telling you. Game with a move like this.
Okay.
You can't play ball. I'm telling you right now, I told you off air, I was planning on hammering this game before the Rolfes on Pittsburgh. I think Baltimore's very overrated. I don't know if you follow kind of the metrics, and you know people always rip ESPN and their sensationalized journalism and stuff. But by way of ESPN, I've kind of found some other sites that they're partnered with loosely, or you know, mm-hmm. some tighter than others. One of them's the Football Outsiders,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is a very fine site. I have their preview. Their preview newsletter thing they have. It's like 600 pages.
Gives you the outsider's edge, so to speak.
Yes, it does. But it was really I really like the work they do. And according to their metrics, Baltimore's like a very average team.
Okay.
They're a very – Baltimore's a team, I think I said this last week, love them against Oakland because how can't you? But I'm against them in this – I'm fading them in the second half. I wanted so badly to fade them here.
Is Pittsburgh a non-recommended play?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I give a slight check to the Steelers. I would if with Roethlisberger in there, I would have laid the 3.5 all day.
Okay.
They had double revenge, and I just don't think Baltimore. I remember when you were killing the Eagles when they were 3-1, and you turned out to be very right. I do. If the Ravens win here, I think they're way more overrated than the Falcons are.
Okay.
I don't think I have the Ravens in my top 10.
You don't?
No.
Really? That's very interesting.
I have. They're certainly not a tier one team. I have six. The Giants are kind of on that precipice, I don't know, after the two losses. But I would have above Baltimore, Houston, Green Bay, San Fran, Chicago, New England, Atlanta. Those are my top six in that order. And then I've got Denver, 7. This is before the Roethlisberger injury when I filled it out. I had Pittsburgh 8, Seattle 9, and I guess I did have Baltimore 10.
Okay.
I guess I did have Baltimore 10.
Well, you gotta put them in there somewhere. It's just like process of elimination. You know, you
can't. Oh, I take that. No, I didn't. I'm sorry, I missed the Giants.
Okay.
No, Baltimore's not in my top 10.
Okay.
They're not in my Baltimore. I had them at 11. I have Baltimore at 11.
Here's my order at the moment.
Part of me wants them to get a bye. Mm-hmm. I don't think they will. I think they're going to fall behind both New England and Denver, even though they might have wins over both of them. So who knows? At home, because I told you, I think they can beat Denver at home. But I would love Baltimore to get that second seed. I'll play against them in that first playoff game all night.
Yeah, they could definitely lose it at home. I got this up at, again, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. My top tier in this order: Houston, Chicago, Atlanta, Green Bay, New England, San Francisco, Giants, Baltimore. Second tier, 9 through 12, Denver, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis. So that's how I got them.
See, my second tier is a lot deeper. My second tier goes all the way to 16.
Mine had been deeper until I just – they're just –
I went to four tier. Well, the thing too
I've had a belly full of all. Like I go now like 13 to 27, because you can't tell me there's a lot of differentiation between 13 and 27.
Well, what's
right
funny
now.
Is I had five tiers going last week. It somehow became four.
Mm-hmm. That's. I think I did something similar.
Yeah. So
that 13 to 27 is very amorphous to me. I am looking at it. So your recommended plays for the week. Let's see. You've got Arizona, Carolina. And the Browns, taking the chalk or laying or not
taking the points in every
points,
game.
Points in every game. Yeah. Points in every game. No chalk. For me, a rare instance of taking the points. I'm taking Oakland, but my other chalk picks are Green Bay and then Baltimore for my lock pick. So again, a lot to look forward here to with NFL Week 11. And, again, we're going to be done with the bye weeks after this
one.
Yeah,
so full slate of games. Full slate of games.
Yep, stay tuned
And next
that.
Week, one of the busiest weeks of the betting year.
Yeah. We're gonna be all over that next week. We'll be doing a phoner, as I will be in the ATL for the holiday. But we'll be all over it next week. Thanks, as always, Kyle.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.